listening to That's a Life for Asteroid G, putting on our shoes and going out for 300 miles. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul is here asking the question, what if the Hunger Games was more depressing and even slower?
Okay, in fairness, I feel like I need to defend The Long Walk, just because this is a Stephen King story out from his early days, and they did a fairly faithful adaptation of the meat of the story.
So, I'm not going to dispute that.
You're wrong. It's a dystopian future where people die, and it is really slow and depressing. So you nailed it on all counts there. But The Long Walk came out a couple weekends ago, and you and I decided to watch it while eating Popeye's Hot Ones and had a very disappointing weekend in general.
Yeah, overall, it was just a mid-weekend, and my Jets, I'm sure my Jets lost that weekend, too, because they're 0-5 at this point, and like it was just all around, just was sad.
So this came out, and it's got rave reviews. I want to be upfront about that. Yeah, rave reviews, because for what it is, if you know what you're getting going in, you get exactly what you expect, and the performances are fantastic. It is a movie about 50 kids from across the 50 United States who are men, honestly. They're young men, selected to participate in the annual Long Walk as part of this post-Civil War, late 2000s, early 2100s, America. It's dystopian sci-fi, but it also looks like it's set in the 1960s, so pinning down the exact year it takes place is very hard to do, but it is definitely takes place after a second Civil War, and as part of the like making America fantastic and motivating people to work, which it's a culling. It's really what it is. It's just a lottery culling. These 50 men walk until one of them is all that's left. The other 49 die. Spoilers. Not much of one, but still, it's in the trailer. But spoilers. And the one who survives gets like boodles of money and whatever one wish he wants. That's the goal. And so you then get in with these characters and you bond with these characters. And then over time you watch all of them die and it's sad.
Yeah. One by one, you know, like typical Stephen King style, you get attached to somebody and then he's just like, I don't like him. We're just going to kill him. And, you know, we kind of touched on it, like, and I love referencing like Rogue One, you know, like don't get attached to these characters, you know, and you start rooting for them. Then you're like, wait, everybody dies. Like, this is very not...
There's no Rogue Two.
Ending.
No.
Yeah. There's no Rogue Two.
There's no longer walk. This is you get one.
It's interesting though, because like you said that they're like offered up almost. Like, I forget the word you use exactly, but like some of them also like the tributes. Yeah, some of them also want to do this because of what comes of it, because of the fame, because of the wish they get, and the wishes are interesting. I thought like everybody like you got a sense of like everybody. Almost who they were and what they would want from what their wish would be, you know, world peace, more money, a happy life for your family, whatever. But I love Ray, like, you know, spoiler, Ray's really great, but like his wish is just like, you know, I just want to kill somebody. And I'm like, I could get behind that.
He wants to especially kill the leader of the country, basically.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can get behind that, especially when you learn his motives for it and everything. And you're like, damn, like, okay, I get it. And I mean, you get down to the end and people start going off one by one and, you know, there's betrayals and alliances and everything else going on. It's your typical kind of like group movie like that with an ending that was kind of expected. But I guess at the same time, it was a little surprising, I think.
Well, I won't spoil anything, but I will say the ending is one of the few changes from the book that happens. Like it's different. It's no less depressing. And it may even be one of those things where, like, the movie is not entirely clear about even if the ending that we saw completely happens because of the way that it's shot and filmed and everything. So it's hard to know exactly. But the ending is definitely different. Although some other details of the thing are different as well. When he wrote it where the kids had to walk 4 miles per hour. And in the movie, it's three because miles per hour is a really fast, brisk walk, which no one can keep up. And, like, in the book, it's 100 kids that are selected as opposed to 50. Because I remember there's one set of characters that are actually twin brothers who walk in it. And that's just really depressing because one family's losing two kids. Yeah, like, there's little...
50% odds are actually 0%.
Yeah, that you're gonna keep someone? Yeah, no, they're losing someone. But it's like, the little changes. But, I mean, honestly, at the same time, 100 people on screen... It's just hard to keep track of, and there would have been too many characters for us for an hour and a half movie. Like, those kind of little changes make sense to me. Yeah, and like I saw people bitching online about the fact that walking 300 miles is physically impossible for anyone, let alone kids that haven't been training for it, which, fair, but it's also a sci-fi movie, and get your head out of your ass.
Yeah, I mean, suspend your disbelief a little bit and have a little bit of fun with it. But, I mean, to your point, like, this is a good length movie. It was, like, just about a little less than 2 hours, like, a little over an hour and a half. It was right in that, like, sweet little pocket range that, you know, movies have gone away from. But, like, to try to get attached to, like, or get a story of 100 characters, it's just too many.
A little bit too much, yeah.
Like,
no.
You know, all it is 70 people then for cannon fodder and 30 people that, you know, we're going to get used to, in which case you have basically the same thing you have right here.
Yeah, we basically really got used to 15 to 20 of them, and the rest were fodder. Like, there's a sequence midway into the movie where a bunch of them die, and we don't even see all of it. We just mostly hear the gunshots, and you're like, okay, most of these are characters we don't even care about. They're just the filler that was sitting in the background. So, we get down to, like, 12 characters after that. That's one that starts getting really depressing, because, like, these are the ones that we've bonded with or learned to hate, and as watching them go one by one is sad.
It is, yeah. It's, and, like, you know, the friendships that they develop, you know, and even though they know that, you know, the majority of the people looking around the room aren't going to make it, but you still, you know, there's that bit of humanity in there. And, like, it's relatable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're in a situation that's just a shit situation. You know that the majority of you aren't going to make it. You don't even know if you're going to make it, but you still, you look for anything to grasp onto. And, you know, human nature does that. And that came forward in this, you know, for sure.
Yeah, so it's like, it's both a very, very good movie, and also so depressing, I don't think I ever want to watch it again.
Same. You know, this is a one-time watch, and, like, it's a movie, this is not a date night movie by any stretch.
No.
You know, don't throw this on the couch with the wife or anything. Like, you know, watch this on your own time if you're going to do it. But
you know, that's funny, because that reminds me, I had a girl that wanted to go out with me at one point, and this is way back when I was a teenager. I have nowhere near that anymore. And I was like, sure, let's go to a movie. That sounds great, because, you know, movies are reliable, everything. The movie she picked, Saving Private Ryan. Let's just put it that way. She was not in a romantic mood after that. That was a terrible movie. This is that kind of movie.
Yeah, and that was like 2 hours and 40 minutes of sadness.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I would not have picked that movie anyway, but I certainly should not have let her pick that for a date. We should have found something else that we mutually agreed was a better choice, because that was a terrible one. So
yeah, that required an audible, I think.
I didn't know, whatever. I hadn't heard anything about it.
At that age, you're looking at it, you're like, damn, 2 hours plus, I'm going to do some kissing in the movie theater right now. Like, that was where my brain would have been at, right?
That
and you're
did
like,
not
wow.
happen. That was no. And the funny thing is, like, I mean, she was devastated by the drama and everything. I was just like, that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but, like, that first scene when they're landing on the beach and we're getting off topic again, but, like, damn, like, you go to a date night movie and that's happening, and you're like, Jesus Christ, what did I sign up for?
I'll just sit here with my popcorn, we're done now. Anyway, this was good. I think it was a very faithful, as well as it could be for a movie, adaptation of the source material. It did its job very well. I am much more looking forward to The Running Man, which was also another one of Stephen King's early books, which comes out later this year. I think I'm going to have more fun with that one.
I think so, too. Like, that, you can already get the feel just looking at that it's going to be, you know, not an upbeat movie, but have a lot more elements of comedy in it that I'm going to definitely get behind. So we're going to talk about that. I'm excited to watch that one, too. But, you know, overall, like, the acting was good, too. I thought David Johnson was good. You know, from Alien Romulus, like, I think this guy's going to be, you know, one of the next hot things. He's just killing it and everything he did. He did really well in this as well. And, you know, shout out to Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, you know, Cooper, did a really great job in this movie as well. The cast did their job.
They were
the
great.
The acting was good. They were so good. It was just a really fucking sad movie.
It's really sad. Really so depressing.
Yeah,
gory, intense, hard to watch. This is a one and done for me.
It's an uncomfortable movie that has a very realistic and real message that is uncomfortable to look at. And you know what? That's the way the world is now, somewhat.
Depressing, isn't it? Yay!
A little bit. Yay.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm leaving. Sometimes you escape to go to movies to escape the real world. I didn't plan on seeing my fucking future in this one, but Jesus Christ.
Oh, well. This has been Not So Live for Asteroid G. Going out for a brisk trot. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul is going to go try to channel the Force and Luke Skywalker because he doesn't want to leave Mark Hamill as this last vision that he had.
He was pretty good in this movie, at least.
He was very good. I love me some Mark Hamill.
We will see you all next time.